Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
I know there's a sense of anticipation in the air, so let's just get to the the elephant that's in the room. And it's true, the beard is gone, and we're all happy about that. So that's the deal right there. Thanks for coming. Well, at the beginning of this month, actually, the beginning of March, believe it or not, Linda and I completed our 11th year here at Living Waters. It's been an amazing time for us. Man, it has been awesome. I can't even really begin to tell you what it's meant to us to have family like this and to journey along. We've just celebrated every single one of those 11 years. And so today, with the indulgence of our team, I've hijacked our normal Sunday teaching. Of course, we're in 2 Timothy. That's going to continue next week. And if you don't mind, I'd like to take a few minutes and reflect on a few things that I've learned over these last 11 years. First of all is this, that God speaks and he is faithful. God speaks and he is faithful. The psalmist proclaims that, and we say it along with him. Many, Lord, my God, are the wonders that you have done, the things that you have planned for us. None can compare to you. Were I to speak and tell of your many deeds, they would be too many to declare. God is faithful. He is so faithful. You know, 11 years ago, God spoke a new and a fresh vision into this place, his church. He spoke life to us, and he called our community onto this place of greater faith, to a destiny, really, that was much larger than anything that we would have thought possible back then. And you know what happened is that Jesus stretched us to believe for a community that from very simple beginnings would grow, a community that would love, a community that would reach out from beyond this house to our neighbors and in fact, around the world, that this community would make a significant difference. We have learned along the way that we can anticipate that when we are faith-filled and when we are obedient, God will vitalize his work through the church, and he does. And you know, I've always believed, obviously, and you know this, in the value of community. We speak of community all of the time. And you know, in these past 11 years, they've really shown me that it is essential to our health. Community is essential to our health, as essential as is our breathing in and out. We know this, but community that's an inch deep and a mile wide really isn't community. It misses the mark. We've always tried for something deeper than that. You know, true community is the essence of relationship. And its hallmarks are that we know that we are loved because we are loved as Jesus has loved us. That's really the main hallmark of community, I think. While we're far from perfect in our practice of community, I have witnessed this house plumb the depths of community through our life groups, in meaningful relationships that have been formed, and in the care that has been literally daily expressed one for the other, in some of the most simplest of ways. You know, I think of Liz and Dick Powell when I think of simple ways of just being in community. And they do this. You know, Ann Halsey is our most senior community member. She's 95 years old. We sang happy birthday to her just a couple of weeks ago. And when she was no longer able to drive, they committed to picking her up every Sunday that she could come and to bring her to church. That's community, you know. It's a simple act, but it is birthed through community, through relationship, and it profoundly affects the life of another. That's community. And we have that in this house. I can't tell you how many times somebody has come to me and they've said that from the very first time that they entered our doors, the very first time that they visited here, they felt welcome. And because of that, they've stayed. And many of you are in this room today. Someone cared to remember you. From week to week, they remembered maybe a little bit of your story, your name. And that invited this deeper connection. And so we've all connected together. So over these 11 years, I have seen us become, and I love this, a people of invitation. a people of invitation. And because of that, God has grown his church. As I said at the beginning, you know, we're far from perfect. That is for sure. And you know, that's something else that I've learned over these last 11 years, that we are truly a messy lot. We really are. And, you know, I think that's exactly how the church should be. In fact, my thinking is that if the church isn't messy, we're probably not doing what we should do. This needs to be a messy place. I mean, how could a collection of 1,000 or so of us human beings be anything else but a little messy? You know, like any family, of course, we go through our ups and our downs. Sometimes we might disagree with one another. Sometimes we might disappoint one another. I've always told you that I'll be the first to disappoint you. That's just the way it goes, just human, you know. And sometimes we might even hurt one another. But I think that we have continued to learn that a healthy family is not just about celebrating the good things together. It also works through the hard things together. We don't run away from each other. We embrace each other, and we try to work it out. Messiness is, of course, about brokenness. And along the way, we have discovered that brokenness is best dealt with in Christ, in family, and in love. See, together we're our best when we walk a progressive path of healing, finding our righteousness not in ourselves, as Luke was just saying, but in Jesus Christ, who came to live amongst our mess and lead us through it. I've also learned this, that while it may take some time, where there is love, where there is trust, there is also a progressive path of authenticity. You know, just being real. A true and loving church accepts, embraces, and loves all who come, no matter their story, no matter what their circumstance is, no matter their differences. And yes, of course, authenticity leads to messiness that we've just been talking about. But it is the beginning of a truly and connected and loving community. See, we're learning that the church must be a place of authentic living. Because if we can't be ourselves here, if you and I can't be who we are here, then how in the world can we invite a broken world in that is searching for acceptance and hope and something more? They may not know it, but his name is Jesus. We've seen the communal power of authenticity here on Story Sundays. I love our Story Sundays. Through the transparent and very personal and often kind of heart-rendering narratives that are shared by members of our community, including our pastors, and we hope that we've been able to lead in that example. We've been reminded through all of those stories that we're not all so different, and that in Jesus there is hope. Whether it's here in this house or in our life groups, love and trust allow us to be who we are, all of us, broken and wonderful works in progress, trying our best to look a little bit more like Jesus every day. There is in this house an amazing spirit of generosity, and it has risen amongst us, I believe, as a concrete witness to God's extravagant generosity to us. You know, we've worked hard against the tide of church consumerism, and I believe as a community accepted the responsibility that comes with being blessed by God, and that is to pass that blessing on to others. He pours in to us so that we can pour out. And when we do that in ways that accomplish the mission that he has given us, he replenishes us so that we can do more of his work here. A generous spirit is core to the gospel. And when we reflect that generosity in how we live and give the name of Jesus all glory, he is lifted up. People recognize Jesus because he is generous, and he is seen through us and our generosity. And of course, generosity comes in all forms. You know that. And in just a few weeks, we're going to celebrate our over 300 volunteers who serve this community. You know, whether as life group leaders or whether as worship leaders or mentors or Sunday school teachers. I mean, the list goes on and on. By seeing people's gifts recognized and released, all of us working shoulder to shoulder, function at our best as the body of Christ. We've discovered over the years that the mission progression of a church does not find its strength in clergy and top-down thinking. It comes from all of us, working together, recognized and released, and walking out that personal calling together within the community that Jesus has built. It's all of us, no layers, just all of us together. A community that is designed and called by Jesus and is mobilized in its gifts is destined to make a profound kingdom difference. You know, we were never designed to be inactive. Rather, we were designed to be engaged, loving, calling on, and encouraging one another, being equipped for the larger assignment of sharing the good news of Jesus. That has been our past. It is our present, and it will be our future. Now, let me speak for a moment about our future and the placement of that vision for the next decade. You know, even before we left our role at CLA 11 years ago to serve here, we knew through the Holy Spirit that we would be coming here to Living Waters. And the Lord began to show us, even before we were called, His preferred future for this house. You see, God has a vision for His church, and He always has had an amazing vision for Living Waters right from the very beginning. You know the story. The pastors before us, Ken and Eunice Gilardi, they had been called to build the church physically, and Jesus showed Linda and I that we were called to help build it with the people that God would send. You know, the vision that the Lord gave back then was clear, and I wrote much of it in my diary and as I was praying, and I've shared it here before. I saw that God would fill His house beyond its capacity, that He would create a platform from which we could launch to love and influence our neighborhoods and peoples around the world to God's glory and to His alone. He built His church from some 60 to 70 people to over the 1,000 who today would call this house their home. God does have a preferred future for His house. This is His church, and our destiny lies in hearing His voice and being obedient to what He calls us to do. And I'll tell you what, that should make all of us excited for the future. And over my 21 years of being a pastor, I started when I was 14. Over the years, I've learned to lie well. Over my 21 years of being a pastor, I've also learned that the Lord often places us in our work for seasons. Some will plant, some will water, some will harvest. Scripture teaches us that there's a time for everything. There are both beginnings and there are endings. That holds true for those of us who have been called to pastor. And over the years, I've found it is important to pay attention to both when we start and when we end. And hear me in this, there is no doubt in my mind that a pastor should not lead beyond his or her season, because if they do, it too often is under their direction and their steam and not with the vision and the capacity of the Holy Spirit. And if that happens, you know, the momentum of the church's mission begins to wane and even wander. And I know that is not God's preferred future for His church. Proverbs 19:21 says this, "Many are the plans of a man's heart." Man, the things that we would want. But it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's the Lord's purpose that must prevail. You know, as each year begins, I ask God if my season as a lead pastor is done here. And, you know, I've always felt the gentle nudging of the Lord for another year, except for this season. For almost a year, I felt that the Lord was bringing me to a growing sense that the time has come to release the mantle of leadership to another. In fact, as the year has progressed, my vision forward has diminished in preparation, I believe, for the next leader that God will send, the next leader who will see and lead His church forward. In the spirit of authenticity, I can tell you that it's been a very challenging and at times difficult year for Linda and I, because to be honest, we would choose something different. We would like our season here to last until our 70s, which would be another couple of years, maybe into our 70s or 80s. You know, I want to see more churches planted and more people reached. We want to continue to walk with a team that we have come to love deeply, not only as our colleagues, but as dear friends. But we have come to understand that this is not what God wants for us or for this church. We've come to realize that our season has come to a close. In fact, it's time for us to live up to a promise that I made to myself when we first started attending Living Waters, and that was when God said we were done, we would be done, and we would make room for another. To overstay our assignment here and allow for the delay or the potential miss of God's vision for the next season of Living Waters would be, in our mind, disobedience and not at all helpful to His church. And I am convinced today that God has already chosen the one who, along with an amazing team, will lead this community into the next incredible season ahead. And believe me, it's going to be an incredible season ahead. You know, since coming to our decision, Linda and I have found a deep, deep peace, a deeper peace than we have experienced all of these months. And we believe that's exactly what happens when you walk in obedience. So are we leaving Living Waters to pastor another church? The answer to that is no. Knowing that we've not slipped from God's radar, our decision was made with no confirmed plan of ministry ahead. Interestingly, however, at the very end of the week that we had made our decision, an opportunity to potentially work with our district on a part-time basis was presenting, and really that was quite amazing because they had no idea that we had just made the decision to step down. And the district work would be to come alongside and to coach other churches within our district that have plateaued or are in decline in their growth. And the idea really is to come alongside and share a little bit of the Living Waters story with them. And while we have not yet accepted that role, we both felt that the opportunity that was presented really was an affirmation of the decision that we've made. In essence, the Lord is saying, I have more for you to do. I know that this news is going to come as a surprise to you, as it did to our council and our pastoral team 3 weeks ago when we submitted our resignation. And for that, I'm sorry. I just don't know if there would ever be a good time to share like this. Our resignation has been graciously accepted by our council, and our final Sunday at Living Waters will be May 28th. We took a lot of things into consideration when we looked at that date, by the way. Overall, we believe that this is the best time of year to step away from leadership and in the meantime, allow for a detailed process that follows to find a new lead pastor. I'll have a bit more to say on that in a moment. For many of you, this news is going to take some time to process, and I get that, and you really do need to take that time to process. But I want you to hear me in this. I absolutely believe that this transition is for the continued health and vibrancy of this church community. There is a new and a greater season ahead for Living Waters. That's what this is all about. And really, the best time for us to leave is when our church is at its healthiest, when faith is flourishing and the community is committed to going deeper and moving forward. I said it earlier, but God has a vision for his church. He has a mission and a destiny for Living Waters. And he has the leader who will work with that. And he has the leader, I think, that will work with the nation's most amazing and effective pastoral team. You know, the vision, direction, and health of this church has never been about me. They've been about us. About us. Stepping out in obedience as best we can in God's greater purposes for his church. See, Jesus is the head of this body, and our first responsibility is to faithfully follow him. You know, from the time that we started 11 years ago, I've worked hard to ensure that we would not become pastor-centric, meaning that the health and the vitality of the church would not depend on any single one of us. So we are in the best place possible to see a vibrant Living Waters not only continue, but become stronger in the work of the Lord. Jesus does have an incredible journey ahead for Living Waters. We have seen, I believe, only the beginnings. We must never forget, friends, we must never forget that the local church is the primary platform for Jesus' answer for the lost, hurting, broken, and hopeless. Never before has this church been more needed than right now in a culture that is crying out for its truth. Now, God has got a plan and a destiny ahead for this church. Of course, many of you are going to be asking the question, what happens now? Well, let me just help with how things will look as we move into transition, because we do have an excellent way forward. Our district, which is really our denominational overseer, has developed a thorough, a tried and tested transition process, which is going to help us to find that new leader. There are basically three routes that we can take moving forward. One is seeking the new leader internally. The second is looking for him or her externally, or it can be a blending of both. Our leadership council, through a search team or discernment committee, will spearhead the process. And in fact, we met last Monday with District Superintendent Ken Russell to review the process. Ken is with us actually this morning. And I'm happy to say that Ken has also agreed to be with us tomorrow night at our annual general meeting, and he's going to provide a more detailed description of our way forward, and I want to encourage you to come to that meeting and learn more. Ken has been involved in many, many church transitions. He's a gifted leader. He knows our DNA here at Living Waters, which will be fully reflected in the process. Just a couple of more things. Well, I know that this is all new to you and a little surprising, and will be subject, no doubt, to a lot of lunchtime discussions. To honor the gatherings that follow, I'm going to ask you to allow them to hear the news from me first, please. So I want to encourage you to stay off of social media or anything like that, so I have the opportunity to share personally the story with them. And so if there's any crisscrossing in the parking lot, if you could just say, hey, great to see you today, that would be awesome. After our final gathering ends today at 1:30, then we'll be posting a letter from Linda and I on our website, and there will also be a link to this podcast, and others who are not here will have the opportunity to learn more about it. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do is spend as much or more time in prayer as you do in deliberating who's going to be the next lead pastor. Pray for our team, would you? Pray for our team. This is going to be a difficult time ahead for them, and so I'd like you to pray for our team. Pray for our community generally. Pray for us as we go through transition, because it's not always an easy thing to go through, and we get that. So we just need to pray for one another. And we do need to pray for that awesome revelation of God for the new leader, who that new leader is. I've said it already at least twice, but I want to say it again. God has that leader already. He knows who it is, and we will have a process that will help us discern who that leader is, and that will be the revelation of God himself. God has done much, and he's not going to stop now. This is all about taking us to the new season, which is where we need to be, friends. It's where we need to be, and this new leader is going to help take this church there. I believe that with all of my heart. We have a great pastoral team here. And you know what? From today on, it's going to be ministry as usual. Not going to be a lot of changes. We're just going to keep doing what we do. And we're going to keep loving and reaching and touching and all of that. That's going to continue, and you can count on that. So we're not going to be rudderless or leaderless. We're going to be just fine. You might remember it was about 3.5 years ago when I was diagnosed with rectal cancer and had surgery and taken out for a time. Man, this place ran like a top. It was really disappointing for me, actually. I kind of hoped I'd come back and the place would be in ruins, but it was, it was going to be another bum joke, but I'm not going to go there. Our team is highly qualified, highly gifted, and they are ready for this new season. They really are. So it will be hard, but it will be a good season. I'm going to ask Linda to come up. And you know, Linda and I have both walked this journey together. We've been married now, how many years is it, my dear?
37.
All right, good. That's the number that I was going to come up with, too. absolutely believe that we're walking in obedience in this, and as I said, we have not known peace like we've known it now, and so we're thankful to Jesus, thankful for the gentle nudge of the Holy Spirit, and we're ready, for the new season that is ahead of us, and even though that's unsure at this point in time, we're ready for it. We believe God has got a plan for us, and we're thankful for that. It's been a hard season for us. This is particularly hard for us to let you know this, but we want you to know this, that we love you deeply. You are family, and you always will be family. We're so thankful for you. So God bless you, everybody.
We're just going to pray over Doug and Linda for the rest of the day and for our community also. Father, thank you. Thank you for Doug and Linda's friendship. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their sacrifice and their love. Thank you for their past and all that you've done through their lives. Because we know what you've done in their past and how faithful and good you've been, Jesus, we trust you with their future. And so we bless them in Jesus' name. We pray, Jesus, that as heavy as this is and as hard as this is, you would give them hearts full of joy, full of hope, and they'd be deeply reminded and encouraged in this season of who you are, what you've done, and what you will do. So Jesus, we pray for them, especially today as they continue on and share. Give them strength, give them great capacity, fill them with your Spirit. We thank you for what they have done and who they are to us, and we trust you with their future. Jesus, we thank you for our past as a community and how you've been faithful for almost 80 years in this church. And we trust you for our future as a people. We know that you're good, We know what you've done in the past, and we are confident in what you can do in the future. And so we put our trust and our hope in you. Thank you, Jesus, for your Spirit with us this morning. Pray that you bless us as we go out this week. You give us the mind of Christ. You give us the capacity to love in the fullness of your Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Doug, Linda, I know that I do speak for everybody here when I say that we really do miss the beard. And and that we deeply, deeply love you. So we'll see you. We're going to invite you to go ahead there and head home, but also just let you know that next week we'll be continuing in our 2 Timothy series. I'll be teaching here in Fort Langley, and Ryan will be teaching in Willoughby. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Bless you as you go.